Morning. Welcome to Second Baptist Church. So glad you're here. Sorry, a little bit late this morning. I'm just back there visiting away, and I'm supposed to be up here. So here I am. So, hey, great. Thanks for being here. Looking forward to worshiping with you this morning, and I hope that you had a great holiday. I know we have still several families that are enjoying family time and those sorts of things, and so grateful for that. If you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you. There's one of a couple ways that we can do that. One way is there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that card out. You can either leave it in the pew and we'll pick that up after service, or at the end of service we'll have opportunity to give tithes and offerings as we leave, and you can leave that in the offering plate, however the Lord leads you in that, or whatever you want to do is great. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and you can fill that information out. And again, it's a way for us to know who's here with us, worshiping with us, whether in person or online. And so again, thank you for being here. I want you to remind you to take note of your bulletin. There's always a lot of important information, upcoming events, different things that are happening in the life and ministry of our church. One of those events that's coming up is we are having a baby shower for Stormy Swain, her and her husband. He serves in our military, and so anyway, but they are expecting a child, and there's some information about a baby shower coming up for their child to be born. And so also there is information about our women's banquet that will be coming up on December 4th. My wife is here somewhere, and I think that she has tickets available. And let me just say this for anybody, don't let the money for a ticket be the issue. Keep anybody from coming. We'll figure that out. We'll make sure everybody's taken care of. But if you want to be a part of that, you can see her probably in the four-year following service, and she'll have those available. And so love for you to come. Love to invite any friends or any ladies that you may know. Come be a part of that. And just thankful for that opportunity for our ladies. And then just some other things that are coming up. Our annual holiday meal together. We're doing that on December 10th this year. We do it in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, trying to give a little bit of reprieve, because I know many of you are cooking a lot around those holidays, and so hopefully you'll make plans to be a part of that on December 10th. The other thing I want to mention, it's not in your bulletin, but you'll be seeing a lot of information about it, because it is the time of the year. For me, one of the very favorite offerings that we do, Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And you'll be seeing information about that. I love Lottie Moon Christmas offering, mostly because everything that you give, obviously every special offering we do, we send that to whatever missions or ministry that we're supporting with that. But with Lottie Moon specifically, we send every dollar that we take in for that, but then it goes through the International Mission Board, and 100% of what is given to Lottie Moon goes to the mission field. And so it's a really neat Christmas offering mission to support missions and our missionaries, and so grateful for that. Let me tell you something that we do unique this time of year associated with that, that several of you new faces, you may not be familiar with that, but soon you'll see this little cubby hole of a mailbox hanging around. And what that is there for, we will put it over next to, if you'll excuse my pointing, the entrance underneath the covered awning next to the offices. It will be there. It's the cubby holes are alphabetized, or there's for letters of last names, and so it is our mailbox for the Christmas season. We know a lot of people love to do Christmas cards, family cards, all that sort of thing, and you have people within the church that you want to give, and so instead of paying for that postage Postal Service delivering that, you can do that. Now, that's for obviously our active folks that are here. It's not for members only, but just obviously we can't go out and deliver those, act on behalf of the Postal Service. But those that are here within the church that you're seeing and you want to be a blessing to, and give a card if that's your thing and you want to do that, then you can do that. Bring those cards in and stick them in the appropriate slots. And then there's a can that goes with that, and if you want to help give postage, if you will, and all of that money goes to the overall offering of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So you may hear talk about that a few times this year, because I know that we have several that maybe are unaware of that, or we do that each year. And so Anyway, looking forward to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering as we prepare for that. Finally, I wanted to share with you this morning as we get ready just to focus in on the Lord and seek Him and looking forward to that this morning. Dax Driggs is here this morning. Matt is spending some time with family, and so he's not here today, and so I'm grateful that Dax is coming and helping to lead us in worship this morning. So be praying for him as he does that. Also be praying for Pastor Jonathan as he leads us through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God this morning. And so we want to be ready. We want to be ready that our hearts are ready to worship Him and in spirit and in truth. Our hearts are ready to receive the Word of God. Read this week, fittingly, Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Maybe we enter in this morning with just a heart of thanksgiving for who God is and for what He's done. It says that He's made us, man, that we serve the Creator. We're worshiping the Creator this morning. All right, listen, I know it's not my turn to preach, so let's pray, and we're going to sing to the Lord. Jesus, You're good, and there is none like You. And so, God in heaven, I pray as we come together this morning, God, that You would rid any distraction, any hindrance that we might have this morning, that You, Spirit of God, would have freedom to work among Your people. God, I pray that You, Spirit of God, would fall on this place, and we would leave here speaking the Word of God with boldness. God in heaven, I pray that You would give us grace to focus in on You, Lord Jesus. As we come now, God, Your Word says, enter into Your presence, enter into Your courts with thanksgiving. And so, God, we just want to pause this morning and simply say, thank You. Thank You for all that You are. Thank You for everything that You have done in our lives. God, Your Word says every good thing comes from above. And so, God, we trust everything good in our lives is not because of our own effort. It's not because we could buy it. Everything that we have good in our life is from You, and we thank You for that. Thank You for breath in our lungs. Thank You for, God, the ability to be here this morning and to worship You. God, I pray that we would sing unto You, Lord Jesus, that You would be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see everybody here this morning. I am grateful, as Pastor Chris said, that Dax is here this morning to help lead us. As we begin this time, I am preaching on reasons for praising God this morning from Psalm 146. And so I just want to invite you to stand in this moment and sing with us this anthem. This is the newer song to us, but as you hear the words of this song, it reminds us that there are so many, there are countless reasons why we can be praising God, not just today, but every day of our lives.
So many reasons, too many to count, to say that I love You, to worship You now. Your love is perfect, and Your heart is kind. I'm Yours forever You're mine.
He's the anthem.
Jesus, the anthem of my heart. Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I'm overwhelmed by all You are. Oh, how I love You.
You call me beloved.
You call me beloved. says I'm worthy. You welcome me in. Now all that I long for and all that I need is to be in your presence forever. Jesus, the anthem of my heart. Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I'm overwhelmed by all you are. Oh, how I love.
Let's sing that again. Jesus, the anthem.
Jesus, the anthem of my heart. Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I'm overwhelmed by all you are. Oh, how I love you. Faithful to the end. God, you are always good. Where do I begin? There's so many reasons to love you. Your promise never breaks. Your beauty never fades. Oh, what else can I say? There's so many reasons to love you.
Great old hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. The Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under His wings and so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires there have been granted in what He ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriend thee. Thank you. praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that have life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for all we adore Him. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. Name above. our God. Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great.
Is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
You may be seated. Well, amen. So are we good this morning? I mean, it's Thanksgiving. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We've eaten a lot of turkey. Are we in that turkey coma this morning? Amen. All right. Well, if you've seen your notes this morning, I have several things I want to talk about this morning. I have several reasons for praising God, and it's straight from this psalm, Psalm 146. If you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, and you can start looking at that and be prepared here in just a moment. We'll stand and we'll read the Word of God. And then I know what you're thinking. There's 14 points, and you're like, how in the world are we going to get through that this morning? Just know that these are not like I'm not going to sit down in any one point for a long period of time, hopefully. Right? Right? If I do, then if you're still in that turkey coma, maybe you can get a good nap this morning. Right? Amen? No? All right. No, I do plan. I think what the psalmist does is real quickly, he points out several things, several reasons why we can praise God. Now, obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, all right, because I'm sure there are more than 14 reasons why we can praise God. I mean, even this morning, if you were to start thinking about reasons why you can praise God, I'm sure you would come up with more than 14 reasons. But what I want to share with you in this passage today, in this psalm, the psalmist really kind of settles in on some of the big ones, some of the ones that we can always just if we go to his word especially, we find those readily available. Now this morning I could have had many, many supporting verses for each of these reasons, but I've only chosen one, all right, or one passage so that we can make the most of our time this morning. Because in your mind, you're already saying, well, if he has 14 points, if he just averages 2 minutes per point, that's 28 minutes. That's a sermon right there, right? And I've already used up some of my time by giving you this introduction. So here's the other thing. I talked to Pastor Chris about this right before service, and if I run out of breath, because there are a lot of things to say, and I need to say them quickly, I will go down and I will tag him, and he will finish up the sermon for me. Somebody said, oh man, over there. Maybe I just need to not run out of breath this morning. Somebody may need to get me a larger bottle of water. All right, that's enough, right? We got to have a little bit of fun here on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. As we're going into this Christmas season even, we think about all the reasons why we can praise God. We praise him because he sent his one and only Son, because he loved the world so much that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That in its of itself, it should be one of the main reasons why, and if that was the only reason why, we should lift our voices to him every day, right? But here we have 14. Can you just think about that? In the Bible, numbers are
important, right? Seven is a number of perfection, and so therefore I think it's on purpose that I see 14 here, because it's double perfection here. Now again, it's not that because there's only 14 reasons to praise God this morning, but because that's where it is, where it lands in the scripture, because I could come up with a whole lot more. And you're saying, Jonathan, you're wasting your time. Let's get to reading the Word of God, and then we can get into the passage of Scripture. If you would you please stand as we read? I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. The verses will be on the screen. Psalm 146, as we and pick out these, see these reasons, even as you read this here this morning. Hallelujah, the psalmist says, my soul praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles, in a son of man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plans die. Happy or blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. The Lord, he frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Zion, and might I say this morning, Second Baptist Russellville, your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord in heaven, you are the God above all gods. And we want to say this morning that we affirm everything that this psalm says about you, about what you do, about who you are. Because you, oh, there's no one like you. And so for that, we give you the praise. For that, Father, earlier we sang these songs of praise to you earlier. And how we love you as a result of Father, we even say this morning that we wouldn't know what it means to love or even how to love unless we had experienced it from you in the first place. So with that, Father, we raise our voices in praise to you. And Father, as we look at your word, oh, may our hearts become more enamored with who you are and what you do. May our hearts overflow with praise because of your goodness. May our hearts be filled in such a way that as we leave this place, your praise would be on our lips and the people around us would experience it as well, and they would even praise you. Father, I know this morning that this list is not exhaustive, for you are an inexhaustible God. And there are so many more reasons. But God, I pray that you would help us even beyond this list this morning. Think of ways that we can praise you each and every day. And we ask this in the most precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, we're going to get into this. I'm not going to waste a lot of time in talking about each point. But the main idea this morning is we should release praise to God every day. Look back real quick at verse 1 and verse 2. He says, hallelujah, my soul, praise the Lord. And listen to this, I will praise the Lord all my life. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just when we come into a sanctuary or a building such as this, and we stand and we have the words on the screen or we have the hymnal in front of us and we sing those words, not just in those moments, not just in the shower. I don't know about you, but I sing in the shower. All right, I'm the only weird one here this morning. I like to sing in the shower. The bathroom's a wonderful place to sing unless you don't like to hear the sound of your voice. But I would encourage you to do it anyway because you are to praise God every day, in all seasons, in every way, right? And this is what he's saying. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing my God as long as I live. As long as I have breath in my lungs, may I render praise to the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that what we just sang? Dax, right? We just sang that wonderful. I don't know if you remember that hymn or not. When he sent that to me, I was like, oh, wow, I'd forgotten about that hymn. That's wonderful. Praise to the Lord, the God Almighty, the Lord of all creation. And this is what the psalmist is saying here. He said we should release it. We should not hold it within us any longer. And I think that as we look at this, as you even think in your minds of reasons to praise God, you shouldn't hold it within you. You should give it out to him because he is worthy of our praise this morning. And not just this morning, but every moment of every day, because he is God and there is no one like him. You're with me this morning, right? So the question this morning is, what is restraining you from giving God praise? What is restraining you? Why aren't you releasing that praise to God? Why aren't you giving him the honor and the glory that's due? And I'm sure this morning that as we were singing, I am positive. I'm not saying that. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm sure that as we sang this morning, you were releasing praise to God. Because even if you didn't know the songs, you listened to the words and you understood, oh, wow, that is our God. And that is what he's doing. And even if words weren't coming from your mouth, in your heart, you were releasing praise to God in this moment. But what I'm talking about is what is restraining you from each and every day. What are the things in life that have caught a hold of your attention? What are the things that are happening in your life that are kind of pressing you down in such a way that you can't see the hand of God moving in your life, and as a result, you don't give God the praise that's due? But let me tell you something. He's working in your life. And my encouragement to you this morning is, don't let those things be obstacles. Don't let those things restrain you in such a way that you don't give God the praise that's due to him. Because here's the reality. The Bible says that if we don't give praise to God, the very rocks themselves will cry out. And I don't know about you, but no rock is going to be in my place. Anybody have a pet rock when they were growing up? Did you ever hear that pet rock give praise to God? But what if that pet rock, because you weren't praising God, what if he just got up and started singing? What if she just got up and started singing? I think I would be embarrassed. Are you hearing me this morning? Please don't hear me getting on to you. Hear me say this right here, that our God is worthy of our praise. And yes, it's our duty to give him praise and honor, but it's also an incredible privilege. Because here's the reality, I am not worth anything. And yet he set his affection on me in such a way that he sent his one and only son to die for me. And for that, I give him praise. So what is restraining you from giving God praise this morning? 14 reasons. Let's get into it this morning, right? And by the way, I'm going to do my best. And y'all know me. I tend to think in songs, all right? I'm going to do my best. If a song comes to mind, to put it aside, because if I do, that makes this sermon a whole lot longer, all right? I may reference one, and if I do, that's okay. But I'm not going to make any promises, all right? First one, in verses 3 and 4, he does not resemble man. Amen. Amen. I am so glad, and you are glad, that God does not resemble me or any other human being that walks the face of this earth. Listen to what the psalmist says and reason why. He says, do not trust in nobles, in a son of man who cannot save. Is there a human being that can save you from your sins? Absolutely not. They may save you from, situations. They might bail you out. Pastor Chris has had to bail me out at times, right? I remember one time early in my ministry here at Second Baptist Church, I got a phone call. I mean, this is probably within like the first year. I got a phone call from a college student and say, hey, we need you and Al Ray to come over to Dardanelle Rock. I was like, what's going on? And he said, well, we were free climbing it, and we've got a couple of guys that are stuck. They forgot how to get back up. And so Al Ray and I, we went into the fellowship hall, Pastor Chris, and we found one of those totes because it had tug-of-war ropes in it. And so we took that with us. And we brought it up there, and we were on the top of Dardanelle Rock. And I remember looking how far down they were, and I was like, hey, Pastor Al Ray, we're going to have to, like, tie these two together. So there we go. We get them together. We go on that, and then they were able to get back up. And in that moment, all right, in that situation, we were able to save them, okay? But I can't save them from their sins. And this is what the psalmist is talking. I can't truly save anybody. Only God can. And this is the reason why. Listen to what else he says. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. That means he's a finite individual, and our God is infinite. Our God is forever, and he will remain forever. And this is what he says. On that day, his plans die. Even if he has good plans, they're gone. Yet God's plans are established in the heavens forever. And he says, this is the reason why we praise him. Because here's the reality. God is not like man that he would lie. Listen to Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he might lie, or a son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Or promise and not fulfill? Isn't that a wonderful thing that all of God's promises have been fulfilled or will be fulfilled in your life? And they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, that's the reason why we can say God never lies. And God will always fulfill his promises. And here's my plug this morning. If you don't know enough of the promises of God, that means you need to be in his word more, because there are countless promises right in here that we need to access in our lives as a result of God's faithfulness. Am I preaching hard enough this morning? This is too much, isn't it, on the Sunday after Thanksgiving? I'm getting excited because our God is something to be excited about, because he's not like me. Even with that statement right there, you should get excited that he's not like me. He does not resemble man. Another reason, he reassures any doubts. He reassures any doubts. Have you caught my alliteration yet? I love alliteration, y'all, and the R's are in there today. He reassures any doubts. Listen to what verse 5 says. I lost my place for just a moment. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob. If you have any doubts this morning that God is not available to you to help you in any situation, Let me reassure that doubt that he is there. And even if you do not recognize it this morning, he is reaching out his hand, and he wants you to reach out and grab a hold of his, because here's the reality, he is the only one who can save you. And let me tell you something, one of the reasons why we have the record right here in the Word of God is to remind us that over and over and over again, God is a help in a time of trouble. You see, even though the characters that we see in this word are flawed, even though they make mistakes, even though they sin against God in very enormous ways, God is still there to help them. I was reading this week in my daily reading Jonah. Jonah the prophet. And Jonah, you remember the story of Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah says, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna go to Tarshish. And one of the wonderful things about chapter 1, it says that he goes down, and he goes down, and he goes down, and he goes down, and he goes down. Have you ever thought about that? That sin, you know, we talk about it, that sin always takes you further than you want to go, and you just keep sliding, and it's down, and it's down, and it's down, and it's further and further and further away from God. And this is Jonah in this moment. And remember that the storm came up, and the fishermen, the seafarers that were on the boat with Jonah, they find him asleep down in the boat, and they say, hey, what are you doing? Call on your God. Don't you understand what's happening here? And he doesn't call on God. He just says, okay, just throw me overboard. And so they do, and he goes down and down and down in the sea, and God appoints a great fish to come and swallow him. And even down in the belly of that great fish, finally, Jonah looks up, and he calls on God, and the fish spits him up on dry ground, and God comes to him again, and he says, all right, go to Nineveh. Here's my word. And so he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches, and guess what? Even though Nineveh was an atrocious people, if you look at history and you see what they would do to the countries, the people in the countries where they conquered, it was wicked, all right? Even though the people repent, and God relents from his anger. Even though they were in a mess, God still comes and he helps them. Isn't that incredible? I'm telling you this morning, no matter where you find yourself, if you find yourself so far away from God, you're not even sure if there's a way back. Let me reassure that doubt this morning that he's right there. He's reaching out his hand and he's saying, come back. Come back. Listen to what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Now, you may not be in sin right now. You may just be experiencing some incredibly hard things. And just know that God is still there in the midst of us if you would just call out to him and let him be the anchor of your soul. Number 3. He replaces despair with hope. Look back at verse 5 and 6. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Whose hope. So I love the way the psalmist starts out here, because he's talking about faith and he's talking about hope, isn't he? When you're talking about reassuring doubt, you're talking about faith, and how faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even as we look at this, these things go in tandem, and it's almost like here's the place to start. And as your faith looks up to God, allow your hope to look forward. Warren Wiersbe said that in his commentary on Psalm 146 here. Let your faith look up to God and your hope look forward in this moment, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. He reminds us today that God is in control of everything. If he truly is the creator, and he is, of all life, of everything that we see, everything that we experience, then we know that God has his hand and he is in control. And remember, his plans never die. So he says, replace that despair you might have with hope. There's a Christmas carol that we sing from time to time. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I don't know if you remember that, but there's one line, and in despair I raised my head. I think that's what the line is. I didn't look it up. But there's this idea that even in despair, when our faith looks up and our hope looks forward, Oh, what reassurance we have because our despair has been replaced. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 6 says in verse 17 through 19. Because God wanted to show his unchangeable purpose, there's his plans, even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope that is set before us. We have this hope as the anchor for the soul, firm and secure. He enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now, there's another old hymn. I told you I wasn't going to. I think in hymns, it's called The Rock. Have you ever... it talks about how the anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That's what we're talking about. Allow Jesus, allow God to replace your despair with hope in this moment. When you're despairing over your sin, it's a wonderful thing when we look to God because we know that Jesus died on the cross for that very sin and forgiveness is available to us if only we would repent. Right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John 1:9 says. So let that despair be replaced with hope. Hope that you can be used by God. A hope that your sin can be taken away. A hope that your sin doesn't have to define you any longer. Whew. I'm on three, right? How am I doing? 11:32. All right. Number four, he remains true. He remains true. Look back to verse 6. The maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, here it is. He remains faithful forever. He remains faithful. You know, there's a lot of these points. This is straight from Scripture, y'all. That's what's so wonderful about Scripture. That's why we need to be in it more. We can see these things. He remains true. God is not, again, as we've said, he's not a man that he lies. He is a solid rock. I just sang about it. Maybe some of you sang with me. He is that rock that is sure. So, and it's not just for one moment or a few moments in your life. It's for every moment of your life. God is faithful. I know sometimes that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to really grasp because we look at people that we have in our relationships. And I have some great relationships. I have family that's here in this church. And I get to serve with them, and it's such an honor, and it's such a privilege in which to do that. We have a great pastor. We have a great staff. We have a great family, a second family. But here's the reality. One or more of y'all, you'll make a mistake. And I can't always count on you. I still love you, but that's the reality. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but that's just the reality. You can't always count on me. But here's the reality. You can always count on God because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains true. Listen to Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. I love that. Well, what's included in that all? Everything. Everything, all his work is trustworthy. Number five. Am I going too fast? Not fast enough? All right. He renders justice. He renders justice. Verse 7. It says, God executing justice for the exploited ones. And you got to understand that in the history of the Word of God, there were individuals who took their positions as a way in which to exploit people, to take advantage of people, to judge people unfairly, even, if you will. And here, the psalmist, he's talking about, he executes justice. He's right and he's just in everything that he does. He renders this justice, and as we think about this, there's a countless number of scripture, of verses that talk about God being the just judge of the universe, of everything. But here's one that I want you to focus in on, Isaiah 45:21. He says, "Speak up and present your case." So here's this idea that you're in a courtroom. And you're presenting your case before the righteous judge. Yes, let them consult each other. Who predicted this long ago? Who announced it from ancient times? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no other God but me, a righteous or a just God and a Savior. There is no one except me. So here's what the psalmist is trying to tell us, and this is what Isaiah, I believe he's trying to tell us, that when we bring our case before God, he will act justly. Now, sometimes, let me say it like this, he will act in fairness. Now, I will say that my idea of what is fair, my idea of what is just, my idea of what is good or right is sometimes skewed. Because I have a faulty and just finite understanding of what God is trying to accomplish, not only in my life, but in the lives of those around me. And as a result, sometimes I point my finger at God as if he is an unjust God. But here's the reality: God renders justice. He executes it perfectly. And in that moment, hopefully in that moment, sometimes I linger. I don't know about you, but I linger because I feel like things aren't going the way that I think they should go. And I forget that his plans are established, and I forget that I can't inform him on what is going on in my life or what should be going on in my life. And I cannot give him an alternate plan for my life because he has a perfect plan for me. I forget that, and I linger in that moment. But hopefully, in that moment, I can see, you know what? He is a good God. And as I look back on my life, he's always done right by me. And when I look back on my life, even when I've made mistakes, he's reached down and he's helped me out and he's got me back on the path in which I should be going. You know, maybe I don't have things figured out. Maybe God is a just God after all. And just maybe this life is not just about me. And that's a hard reality, isn't it? Because if it's not just about me, it means that every person in here and my selfishness fades away and I say, God, you are good. Number 6, he removes hunger. This is a practical one. Let's look back at verse 7. Executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. I mean, you think about the model prayer in which Jesus gives us, not only in Matthew chapter 6, but also in the Gospel of Luke. He says, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. God is an incredible provider, isn't he? He is an incredible provider. Scripture talks about how he is always there to give us what we need. And I know this one, it's talking mainly and specifically about giving food to the hungry. But here's the reality. When I come to my table or when I come to eat at all, God has given that to me. Amen? I have not acquired that on my... I function that way. I operate that way and a lot. That I have actually... In fact, talking about hunger, my belly's growling this morning. I'm glad my mic wasn't down here or you would have heard it. Maybe it's very fitting that in that moment it reminds me that growl, what it's going to be satisfied here in just a moment over at Dad and Mary's. We're having soup, right? Ooh, that's going to be great on a day like today. I'm looking forward to it. But even in that moment, that soup, when I, that was from God. Now, Dad and Mary prepared it. Yeah, am I being too simplistic this morning in my thinking? I don't think so. We've got to view it like that. Everything comes from God. And then when you think about, give us this day our daily bread, and you think about how Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. I think my thoughts go to God. Give me daily a dose of Jesus in my life because I need that more than food. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So he gives food to the hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you see the thread that's within Scripture? And the psalmist is overflowing with praise here in this moment because he understands it's more than just food. It's more than just daily sustenance that goes within my mouth. It's what goes into my mind and what goes into my heart, and it needs to be about God. So give me that, God, please. Because here's the reality. I hunger and thirst for things more often than not. I hunger and thirst for things that are not of God. And I fool myself in those moments because I think those things can fill me, but only God can fill the hungry. Amen? Listen to what Psalm 23:5 says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in the midst of trouble, God provides. Amen? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's the God who not only just fills you to the top, but he keeps going. You know what? You understand this morning the reason why your cup is not full? Because you said, that's enough. You have a server that comes around to the restaurant. Maybe you're going to the restaurant, some sort of restaurant to eat afterwards, and your cup is half full, right? Notice I said half full, optimism, right? Your cup's half full, and would you like for me to refill it? Yeah, give me some more, and then oh, that's enough. I love going to Olive Garden. They have endless soups. You know, I've already talked about soups this morning. But they always say, would you like fresh Parmesan? Yeah. Because I love cheese. And so they just, Michelle gets, she gets a little agitated with me because they'll sit there and they'll slow down. And they'll slow down again. And she'll hit me. Because she's like, Jonathan, let him go. I like cheese. That's not enough. Oh, God wants to do more than just sprinkle the blessings upon your life. Whew. He removes hunger. I'm not even halfway there. Come on, y'all. 7, he rescues captives. He rescues captives. Listen to what he says there in verse 7 again. Executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry, the Lord frees prisoners. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but before you met Jesus, you were held captive in your sin. That's the way the Bible talks about it. There's a lot of great imagery when it comes to Christ and his redeeming work. Christ and how he even said that he came to be a ransom. He came to pay the price so that we could be released from our sins, so that we could be rescued from the captivity. And we are in chains apart from Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I think it's a whole lot better to be chained to Jesus Christ than to be chained to sin. Because sin, all it does is it drags me down and drags me down. And here's what Jesus does. He pulls me up. And that's what our rescuer does. Amen? Therefore, now, Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. So the two best words, maybe, I don't want to say it's the best, but they're incredible words in the Word of God. God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but now walk according to the Holy Spirit. Oh, friend, today, if you have not experienced the rescuing power of Jesus Christ, oh, what's keeping you? Oh, let him come and break those chains of sin and allow him to free your life in such a way that your eyes are now open to the goodness of God and his expansive kingdom that you are now a part of if you would only repent and believe. He rescues captives. Number 8, he restores sight. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. I think this is, by the way, if you look at the life of Jesus, this psalm is about his life. He did all these things as he walked here on this earth. And I love this psalm right now as a transition from our Thanksgiving time and our focus on giving God thanks in this season to giving thanks to God for sending his one and only Son, the Word that became flesh and dwelled among us. Because when he walked on this earth, he did all these things. He found those who were blind and he helped them to see. But more importantly this morning, if you are in your sin, you are blind, and what Jesus wants to do is to help you to see clearly. For his light, he came as light into the world so that we can see. He restores sight. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. In this moment, Paul's referring back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, there in at the very beginning, where there God creates things and there's chaos, and his Spirit comes and it hovers over the water. And in that moment, God speaks, right? And you remember what he said first? Let there be light. And he began to order the chaos of creation. And here in this moment, he says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So here's what he did on January 3rd, 1982, about 8:30 in the evening, when I knelt down beside my mom and dad's bed, and dad was there, and he was leading me in praying and asking God to forgive me, and I repented of my sins. The light shone in my heart. And the chaos that was there, even as a little 8-year-old who hadn't done much wrong, even though I did, because it only takes one, right, to break the chain that's holding to God. It only takes one lie. It only takes one thing. And in that moment, I'm falling, and I'm in the darkness. And in that moment, light, whoo! And I'm going to tell you, that light, it exploded the darkness, and the peace of God that passes all understanding filled my soul in such a way that I'd never felt it like that before. You see? That's what he does. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That sounds like a song. It is a song, isn't it? Anyway. He raises the lowly, number 9. He raises the lowly. I got to go faster, y'all. He raises the lowly. Look in verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed, those who are beaten down, those who people maybe even have walked on. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says in his commentary here on this verse. He says, Jehovah consoles the bereaved, cheers the defeated, solaces the despondent, comforts the despairing. Let those who are bowed to the ground appeal to him, and listen, and he will speedily upraise him. He will speedily upraise him. If you are low to the ground, if things are upon you this moment, even in this, while you are here, if you are feeling oppressed by whatever, maybe there's circumstances in your life, maybe it's sin in your life and it's holding you down. You look up to God and he raises you up. Because it's when we are low that in our humility, that's when we look up to God. And we know that he is our help in the time of trouble, and he raises us up. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 40 verses 28 through 31 says. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may, or if you're my cousin Vinny, remember that movie? Utes. Any moment of levity this morning. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. This is what our God does to the oppressed. He raises them up. Number 10, he rewards the righteous with his love. Look back at 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. And the Lord loves the righteous. You know, when you seek to do the will of God, I mean, God loves all creation. But when we, his children, seek to do his love, there is a special affection upon us. In fact, Scripture tells us that at times that he is a warrior who sings over us. And I think that's in Zephaniah chapter 3, maybe verse 17, 18, 19, somewhere around that. That's incredible. He rewards the righteous with his love. Listen to what Jeremiah 31:3 says. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you. Know this morning that if you are working and just trying your best to live for God as a child of God, as a son or a daughter of the King, that God's pleasure is upon you. He wants you to understand that he loves you, not just for that moment of salvation, but for every moment after that. And he wants that love to invade your life in such a way that you would exude it to those who are around you. That's that special love, and he rewards you with that love, not so that you can store it within your hearts, but so that you can give it to others, because you know, you and I know that they need to experience that same love just like we did, and it can change them. He rewards the righteous with his love. Number 11, he reserves a place for the outsider. He reserves a place for the outsider. Look at verse 9 again. The Lord protects resident aliens. You know, one of the things that we see in the history, in the Old Testament, in those Bible times, that there wasn't much provision for those in other countries for the resident aliens, for those who had maybe, if you will, citizenship in another country. But God, in the nation of Israel, he had special provision for those that were resident aliens. And here's a reality that we need to understand, that we were alienated in our sin and hostile to God before we met Jesus Christ. Do you understand where I'm going with this? But God reserves a place for those who are outsiders. We're outside of the will of God. But when we come to Him and we repent and we ask for His forgiveness, I have a place reserved for you at the table. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's a place reserved for you at the table of God. And remember, we just talked about this table, that he prepares this table in the presence of the enemies. And it's not just a small sampling. It's a feast, right? Psalm 91:1 says, "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty." Oh, that reserved place allows us to be under the protection of the Almighty. Number 12, He relieves the helpless. He relieves the helpless. Verse 9, "The Lord protects resident aliens and He helps the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked." He relieves the fatherless and the widow. God has a special place in His heart for those that are helpless in our society. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress." Look at that, in their distress, because they are helpless. "And to keep oneself unstained from the world." Let me tell you something. I told you earlier on January 3rd, 1982, about 8:30 in the evening, it was a Sunday evening, I was in a helpless state because I was in my sin, and there's nothing that I could do about it. I tried my hardest to be a good kid and to follow the rules, but there's no amount of rule following that will save anyone. And I realized that. And in that moment of helplessness, God reached down and relieved it. Because I realized that Jesus died for me. He relieves the helpless. 13, He reverses the plans of the wicked. He reverses the plans of the wicked. The Lord protects resident aliens, and He helps the fatherless and the widow, but He frustrates. I like that. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. There's this idea that what the wicked have planned, God turns them around for something good. I mean, it has that same idea. If you think about Joseph and the life of Joseph and what his brothers did by selling him into slavery, and then once we find him, it's second in command to Pharaoh, and his brothers come because there's famine in the land, and there's this back and forth between them, and then finally Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and his brothers are concerned because they understand he's in a position now to do something about what they did to him so many years ago. And Joseph says, not just once, but he says twice to his brothers, "What you planned for evil, God intended for good." And here's the reality that we have to really grasp. Even though things may seem to be against us, God has a way to reverse those things for something good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28 says. Listen to Psalms 37:16-17. The little that the righteous person has is better than the abundance of many wicked people. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord supports the righteous. Even though it may seem like those who are far away from God, they are prospering. Just know that we should be confident that in following God, good will come. Lastly this morning, you say amen. He reigns forever. God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, reigns forever. Verse 10, the Lord reigns forever. Zion, your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah. Doesn't it give you great comfort that even though that we're coming into an election cycle and who knows who our next president is going to be? If you look at other countries and you see the people that are in leadership there, we don't know how long they will hold that position of leadership. It will end one day, either through election means or they die or, you know, something else. That does not happen to God. He is on his throne. He's been there from the beginning, and he will never leave it. Isaiah 9:7, I thought this was a fitting verse as we close this morning. As we think about the prophecy of the coming king. It says, the dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. We know from Scripture, from Philippians chapter 2, when it talks about Jesus and how we should adopt that attitude that is in Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he became one of us, and then he became obedient even to death on the cross. That even in that moment that God gave him a name that is above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's what we need to understand this morning, that God does reign forever. And even Jesus, as he left heaven, he was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here's the reality that one day when Jesus returns, that everyone will bow and every tongue will confess this. And I want to encourage you this morning, confess it now. Don't wait until then, because then it's too late. Then it's too late. Because he reigns forever. That's why we should praise him. Because if he reigns forever, then all that we talked about just before this, you know it's going to come to pass. Right? Let me ask you this. Let's bring it home. Is God reigning in your life? Is God reigning on the throne of your heart? If he's not, well, we just talked about how good God is. He wants you to experience that, even this moment. Just come to him. Answer his call. Wait no longer. Give your life to him. You will never regret it. If he is, what's keeping you from praising him this morning? What's keeping you from just raising your hand and saying, oh Lord, you're so good. I don't deserve it. You have set your affection on me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I know we've been here a while this morning. Thank you so much for bearing with me. As I said earlier, this is not an exhaustive list. Believer, this morning, maybe what you need to do is just right where you're at, or maybe come to this altar and kneel before the Lord, your God, your Maker, and just praise him. Praise him for your goodness. And maybe it's a part of that list that we walked through this morning, but maybe it's something else. I mentioned how great my family, God, praise you for my family. Maybe that's what you need to do.